Welcome back to the Townships at 12. You're listening to The Cube, CJMQ 88.9 FM, and I'm your host, Maureen. In the second part of today's show, I will be speaking with Janet Watson. Janet was one of the main organizers in the Songfest protest that took place last Saturday, March 7th, near the Haskell Free Library and Opera House at the border. I will also have some health news and some music in the second part of today's show. So let's get part two started with a song called Imagine. It's by John Lennon. Over the weekend, a unique cross-border gathering brought people together through music and a shared message of peace and friendship. On Saturday, March 7th, participants from both Canada and the United States gathered near the border by the Haskell Free Library and Opera House for an international songfest and peaceful demonstration. Organized by members of the First Universalist Parish of Derby Line and UUS Street Church in North Hatley, the event invited people on both sides of the border to sing together while standing in their own countries. The gathering highlighted the long tradition of friendship between Canadians and Americans in this region, while also expressing a commitment to peace, nonviolence, and democratic values. Joining me to talk about how the event came together and how it unfolded on Saturday is one of the organizers, Janet Watson. Okay. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, and today I have Janet Watson with me. Now, Janet was instrumental in organizing the Songfest protest on March 7th, last Saturday, at the border. So people came from the Canadian side and the American side, and they stayed on their respective side. Can you begin with telling our listeners what the protest, the Songfest, was about at the border?
Well, originally it was going to be about the Americans' fight against fascism in their country and us supporting them, because fascism can creep into our country. What happens down there affects us. And we were also supporting them in their fight against the immigration policies of the government, the ICE illegal detentions of immigrants and so forth. And then a week into our organizing of it, the war broke out. So we then also added a plea for peace to our program at the Songfest protest. Mm-hmm. So that's how it all began.
Okay, interesting. So that's how it all began. How exactly did the idea for the cross-border protest come about? Like, were you instrumental in it?
Well, actually, it was the idea of the American organizer, a man named Mike McLeese. He belongs to the Unitarian Universalist Parish in Derby Line, and I belong to the Universalist Unitarian Parish in North Hatley. And he came up with the idea that he wanted to do this protest, but he wanted a Canadian organizer to sort of rally the troops on the Canadian side. So he came up and addressed our congregation in North Hatley. I wasn't there when he came up because, like most good Canadians, I was at home watching a hockey game. But my daughter brought home the pamphlet, and she told me that he was looking for a Canadian organizer. And I said, well, I think that's something I could get behind. So I contacted him, and we spent a lot of time on the phone over the next couple of weeks. And I hadn't actually met him in person until I saw him across the border on Saturday. But it was very enjoyable working with him. He's done a lot of protests, No Kings protests in Vermont. He did a protest after the shooting of Rene Good. He's a political activist and very, very, very good to work with. I enjoyed working with him. We are hoping to work again in the future.
Oh, okay. Why was the location near the Haskell Library chosen for the gathering?
Well, it was the perfect location because I think it's unique in the world because there's no actual border station there, but the border is there. It runs, you know, right across Church Street, marked by some cement blocks and a large snowbank at this time of the year. And so it was a dead-end street. We weren't going to block any traffic. We could be inches apart and still in our own country because the Canadians are very reluctant to cross the border, myself included. So this was the perfect location. And also, you know, Haskell had been in the news back when Christy Noem did her famous little dance jumping across the border. So for the Americans, I think it was a way of apologizing for that horrible behavior. There was so much love being tossed at us from them from across the border. So it was a perfect location. We didn't bother anybody. Mm-hmm. And it was great.
Okay. Now, how did the event unfold on Saturday the 7th? What was the atmosphere?
Well, the atmosphere was quite festive, actually. The Canadians, we had about 40 people on our side that sort of gathered slowly. We had some of our children were there. An RCMP officer was there and a member of the SQ. They had both contacted me before to find out, you know, how many people were going to be out there and what the protest was all about. And they couldn't have been nicer. The RCMP officer actually spent a lot of time answering the questions of the kids and let them go into his car and see what it was like inside. And so we were gathered there, and then we could hear the Americans coming. They marched from the Universalist Church, Unitarian Church in Derby, and they marched, and there was over 100 of them, probably 110 or 20, carrying huge flags, singing songs, and lots of signs, you know, neighbors by chance, friends by choice, that sort of thing. There was a group there from Bread and Puppets carrying a large white dove puppet. There were people there from an organization called Indivisible. There were a group of Quakers from Barton, Vermont. So the atmosphere was was really good. And the Canadians, we were very, very touched. They carried a huge Canadian flag along with their American flag. And it was just a great feeling of peace and friendship and something that I think that we all need right now. During this time. Yeah,
exactly. What kinds of songs were people singing during the event?
They were singing protest songs that they had organized. We also sang a Patty Casey. She's a Vermont songwriter, and she had sung a song at Haskell during the Louise Penny book launch, and it's called We Are Stronger Than That. And so we all sang that together. I've posted a clip of that on my Facebook page. It's been seen over 500 times. It was that sort of song, type of songs, you know. At the next one, we will be more organized on our Canadian side, and we will have singers. We were supposed to have a group from Montreal who were going to organize some songs on our side, but in the end, they were reluctant to come. There's a lot of fear in protesting. People, you know, don't want to be blacklisted if they try to cross the border. So, but there were brave souls who came out, and I think there will be a lot more the next time since this one went so well. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be much bigger the next time around.
Okay. How important was it that people could stand on their own side of the border and still participate together?
It was great because, I mean, it was a bit sad in a way because we were all together, like I said, inches apart, you know, on either side of these rocks. And then the feeling that we were all together, and then we had to, at the end of it, we left and we each went our own separate ways. It would have been nice. Originally, we had been invited, the Canadians had been invited to a potluck lunch at the church in Derby Line, but we said no. We were reluctant to cross. In the beginning, we were angry about this whole 51st state nonsense, and now we're afraid, you know, to cross the border with what's happening. So, and Mike also spoke to a lawyer down there who said, no, it's not a good idea for them to try and come across. So they went back to the church, the Americans, and we went back to the Legion in Stansted. So it was sort of bittersweet to be parting from them. At the end of, you know, where we had sort of all been together and as one, and then we were separate again.
Now, the demonstration focused on friendship between Canadians and Americans and a commitment to peace and nonviolence. Why was that message important right now, do you think?
Well, because of the, you know, the divisions in the States, I think it was important for the Americans to show us, like, they're constantly apologizing to us for the behavior of their president and for some of the Republicans. And so I think it was important for them to be able to show us that, you know, we're still friends and that there's so many of them that feel so badly about how Canadians have been treated. And for us, it was important to be there to accept that gesture of friendship and love and community. And especially at this time, we don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen in the States. President Trump is so volatile, he changes his mind from one day to the next. So we're living in a very uncertain time. So this was important for us to be there in a peaceful and friendly atmosphere. It was good for all of us, for our morale, I think. Yeah, that's what was important.
What kinds of reactions did you receive from participants or people passing by, too?
Everybody seemed to be very much in favor of it. I didn't see too many passers by because where we their side was completely full of people. There were some cars going by. On our side, it's a dead-end street, so there wasn't much, there wasn't any traffic. But the postings and the pictures that have been on Facebook are really getting a lot of positive comments and people saying, gosh, I wish I was there. You know, so the whole thing was very, very positive. You know, I had no idea how it was going to turn out. I didn't know if there might be you know, two of us there or 10 of us on the Canadian side, because, you know, Canadians are a bit reticent to do this sort of thing. This is not in our nature. But the ones that did come out, I think, were happy that they did. And now, because it went so well, people are saying, you know, like I said, that they had wished they had come as well. So,
do you feel that the event helped to strengthen the sense of cross-border community in this region?
Absolutely. And actually, it's, you know, the tentacles reach out from things like this. And I actually participated in an interview yesterday with a fellow from the University of Ottawa who is doing a project on border towns and how they, you know, how they coexist. And Stanston and Derby are, you know, really unique. So, yeah, I think that there's been such positive reaction to this little protest that, you know, it's gone all across. It's been shared all over the place. And I think it's a positive thing. Shows that we can get together and be positive and peaceful.
What role did the UUS Tree Church in North Hatley play in organizing the Canadian side of the event?
Well, because I'm a member there and I was kind of the lead organizer, that's how we participated. There was quite a lot of our congregation that was there. There was three of our children, including my granddaughter. And I think having the kids there was a great thing because it showed how safe it was. We felt very safe with, you know, the RCMP there and the SQ sort of standing by, you know, on the sidelines. And social justice is a big part of Unitarian Universalism. And so I thought it was a very fitting thing that we would be the organizers on the Canadian side. But there were people there from all different churches and all parts of the townships, not just our congregation.
Was it difficult coordinating the event that involved people from two different countries?
Not really. The biggest part, my biggest role was to publicize the event. And I did send out press releases to every media outlet I could think of. The only ones that really responded were the Sherbrooke Record and yourself. So I was a bit disappointed in that. They, on their side, had sent out press releases to all the major networks, CNN and so on. The only one that showed up was WCAX from Burlington, who interviewed both of us. But that was mainly my role in it, was to get the word out and to rally people. I was kind of disappointed that I couldn't get more singing groups, musicians to come. But I think if we do this again, there are things that we learned, that I learned in how to do it. One thing would be, for sure, I would make sure I had a microphone because I had to yell. I made a speech at the beginning to welcome everybody and had to yell. And we'll have more musicians. And it sparked interest in a lot of people. So in that way, I think it was a success.
Okay.
But working with Michael was really easy. He was great.
So you see this happening again, another cross-border gathering?
Yes, I think so. I think maybe when the weather's a little better. But it'll depend on how things happen in the world. Like I said, everything is changing so rapidly. We don't know where this war is going to go. But I think probably in a couple of months, Michael is really keen to do this again. And I think it's important for everyone's mental health that we have events like this. Not just anger, not just protesting as an anger, but singing is a wonderful thing to bring people together. And we sort of modeled this on some of the protests that were taking place in Minnesota. And a lot of the churches, the church leaders, this is the format they've been using. And it is a very peaceful way to do it and get your point across. So hopefully within another maybe couple of months, we'll do this again.
Okay. Were you ever involved in other protests before this?
Oh, yeah. I was a friend of mine and I went to a protest at the American Embassy in Montreal a few months ago. It was organized by expat Americans, and we went to that. I've done protests in the past, and in my life, I've sort of been a lobbyist for other causes. My children say, you know, Mom always has a cause. So yeah, I feel if it's something I feel strongly about, then I try to get involved.
Now, the protest itself, it was called Singers of Resistance Across the International Border Against War and Oppression of Immigrants. Is that correct?
That's what it was called, yeah, on their side. Again, initially, and the there was a group of singers. They're called the Resistance Singers, I think. And they had a lot of, they did a lot of this singing. Unfortunately, they had song sheets, which they would have liked to have shared with us. But they couldn't cross. We couldn't hand anything to each other. We couldn't touch each other. We couldn't hand anything to each other across the border. So we didn't have their song sheet. So we couldn't participate, you know, as much as we would have liked to. The song "We Are Stronger Together." Most of us knew the words to that. So we sang that with them.
What message would you like people in the Eastern Townships to take away from this event?
I would like them to know that it was peaceful, it was good for your psyche, good for your morale, and I would hope that if we do it again, people will come forward. It wasn't a frightening thing at all. I understand completely how people are afraid, and you know, they think, you know, cameras are going to be on them, and if they do travel to the States frequently, I understand that you know, to visit family and so on, they might not want to participate. But for those who are willing, I would hope that when we do this again, that many, many, many more of us will show up, and I will try to have a committee, and we'll have it organized well, and have the RCMP and the SQ there again. And they had contacted me originally because they said if there's a hint of trouble, if there's a hint of any kind of group that will try to, you know, invade your group, like to cause trouble, that I had their numbers handy to call them. So it was very safe. And that's the message I would like to pass out to people, is it was safe, it was festive, it was good for our morale.
Anything we left out that you'd like to add, Janet?
I don't think so. I think you've covered it pretty well. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the interview. We've been talking with Janet Watson today, one of the key organizers of the protest at the border on March 7th, Saturday. So thanks very much, Janet, and all the best in the future.
Thank you very much. All the best to you, too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. As we move through the month of March here in the Eastern Townships, the weather can change quickly, from cold temperatures and snow to warmer days, rain, and melting ice. These shifts are a welcome sign that spring is on the way, but they can also bring a few health challenges that are worth keeping in mind. One of the most common issues during this time of the year is the spread of seasonal viruses such as colds, flu, and COVID-19. Temperature swings mean we're often moving between cold outdoor air and heated indoor spaces, which can make it easier for viruses to circulate. Washing your hands regularly, getting enough sleep, and staying hydrated are simple but effective ways to protect your immune system. Another concern in March is the risk of slips and falls. As snow melts and temperatures rise above and below freezing, sidewalks and driveways can become icy and slippery. Taking your time when walking outside, wearing proper footwear with good grip, and being mindful of black ice can help prevent injuries. Seasonal changes can also affect people who live with conditions such as seasonal allergies or asthma. As the snow melts and the ground begins to thaw, mold spores and other allergens may start to appear in the air. If you notice more sneezing, coughing, or breathing irritation, it may be a good time to speak with your health provider about managing symptoms. The changing season can also affect our mood and energy levels. After a long winter, many people begin to feel a lift in their spirits as the days grow longer and brighter. Getting outside for even a short walk during daylight hours can boost mood, improve sleep, and help reset your body's natural rhythm. Finally, early spring is a good time to gently increase physical activity. After months of winter weather, our bodies may need a gradual return to movement. Stretching, walking, or light exercise can help ease stiffness and prepare you for more active spring days ahead. March is truly a transition month. By paying attention to these small health habits, staying active, being careful on slippery surfaces, and supporting your immune system, you can help make the shift from winter to spring a healthy one. And that's our health news here on the Townships at 12 today. That brings us to the end of today's edition of the Townships at 12. A big thank you to my two wonderful guests today. First, Sandy Lalancette from Fièrement Agricole, who joined us to talk about the Heritage Cookbook celebrating the Year of the Woman in Agriculture and the stories and traditions behind those recipes. And also many thanks to Janet Watson, who spoke with us about the Singers of Resistance across the international border gathering this past weekend, and the message of friendship, peace, and solidarity shared between Canadians and Americans at the border. Thank you as well to all of you for tuning in and spending part of your afternoon with me. The Townships at 12 brings you conversations with people from across our region, along with community news, health information, and music here on CJMQ 88.9 FM, The Cube, serving the Eastern Townships. Another reminder, if you belong to a nonprofit organization, and you have an event coming up, please give me an email. We will announce it for free here on The Cube. The email is cjmqnews@gmail.com. Also, if you have an idea for a future interview, please email me and I will get back to you at the same email, cjmqnews@gmail.com. So again, I'm so glad you could join me today and I hope you'll tune in again next time. I'll leave you now with a song that has become an enduring anthem for peace and reflection, Blowin' in the Wind, by Bob Dylan.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it's washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he really sees the sky? How many ears must one person have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is